What's up, everybody? David Pollack here of See Ball, Get Ball podcast. I hope you like it, man. Be sure to follow the show wherever you subscribe, YouTube, or any of your other platforms. Welcome back into See Ball, Get Ball. I am your host, David Pollack. Brent Rollins joins me, as always, writes for Rivals and PFF. And last show, if you missed it, we addressed the Trump situation, and we just talked about how he was talking with Saban and how do we get this thing fixed with, you know, with NIL. And it just got us talking about, you know, Saban, you know, for the graduation. Then we got in the topic of like, who are the best guy, not even the best. Who are the guys that you don't scroll past, you know, like their name comes up, their face comes up, they're giving a speech and you're like in, and regardless of sport, regardless of school, regardless of anything, you just, you're going to stop on their timeline. You might even bookmark it if that's your thing. You're going to save it, send it to yourself, however you do that. Brent, that's where we left off. And I know you, Dr. Rollins, I know you've got a list probably 17 pages long of all the different categories and types.
Well, the funny thing you said is the bookmark part, because I am a habitual bookmarker.
And how many topics do you have in your bookmarks?
Oh, it's so all sorts of things. There's stuff for baseball hitting. There's stuff for money. There's stuff for leadership. There's football things. There's topics for this show. There's like there's so many different things. There's rant. There's workout stuff. A lot of workout things in there. So, you know, it's just very random. But I did go back through, and I just went all the way through. And obviously, I unbookmarked some things that have been there sitting too long. But before we get into the list, though, I got to ask you. What are the traits, the sort of characteristics that make you stop and listen to someone almost always when they pay attention when they speak?
That's such a great question because I started to file these guys into different categories, and they're all coaches. So we stayed in the coaching realm, which is cool, but like leadership, motivation, that's a box for me. Like I'm obsessed with leadership. I'm obsessed with motivation, habits of leaders, you know, how you develop that. So that was like a box. And then like the guys that I would just kick it with that say things a way that I'm like, what? Like I just freaking love the way you just said that. Like the way you said that was cool. A la Mike Tomlin. Like,
yes,
he's one of my guys. Like it's just a Mike Tomlin tab after tab. Like, cause the way he says it is just like, it's explaining it to my generation in a way that's just so easy to understand without the BS, you know, like just cut straight through. And then the blunt speakers, the people that are just like blunt, like just very serious, but just always saying something good that you're like, yeah, it makes sense. So commonsensical, you know, straight to the point. And then my favorite ones are the like, you have no clue what's coming. I mean, like, and listen, he's not on this list because he passed away. Mike Leach. Mike Leach, if he was still coaching, he would be on this list for all of us. Like,
yes, and I agree.
Just one of the best interviews of saying things. The way he said it was unique. What he said was unique, but you did learn things. And then the storytelling, like the storytellers, they're just fantastic. I mean, the guys that was like, well, they can tell it in a story, in a package. And there's so many stories too, that you see now. That's one of the coolest things to me about all the podcasts is even if you don't love basketball, like you can get a great story from Steve Nash, you know, who's your dude. I know good and well, you're watching that podcast. Like,
and is on this list by the way.
100%. I had no doubt. Like it was. So, and me and Brent have been best friends for a long time. Like we've been friends for golly, how many long have we been friends now? Like 10, 15 years.
It's over been a 10 while. Years. Over 10 we're years, get, I would say.
We're getting old, and we coach together in basketball, baseball, and football year round with our kids growing up. And so we've spent a lot of time together. And thank goodness for my sake, he's rubbed off on me a lot in a lot of ways. So, all right.
I had two things, by the way. Just
what you got?
Just two
categories?
In terms of, well, not even categories. I went like current coaches, former coaches, and then kind of an other miscellaneous type deal. But the characteristics, I think what you were trying to say in a way, especially with Tomlin, he's real. There's no fake. There's no, I'm saying this because this sounds perfect. it's just straight up real. This is what I think, and I'm saying it in a way that is just sort of perfect. The other part for me is teach me something. Like, there's, you know, cliches are cliches for a reason, but also don't talk in cliches, I think. And a lot of these people on this list for me, they don't talk in cliches. They actually break it down and truly teach when they're, whether, you know, whether with Saban and even speaking at a graduation, or somebody for me like Sam Pittman, who's on my list. He's
really,
he's real and just
uniqueness, the realness, just like down just to teaches. Earth.
Mm-hmm. So that was the two characteristics for me. So, all right, so let's go. You went coaches. So current coaches, who are some current coaches that are on your list in terms of they speak, you listen?
Well, I'll start close to home with Kirby Smart. And obviously Kirby learned from Nick, and the way they are, I've spent hours and hours with both of them over the years, and they're very similar. It's why the run was so good with Nick. Nick had a guy that was like him on the defensive side of the ball. He could trust, and he could do other things and not have to be all in it all the time. But just the leadership, the motivation. When they leaked the pregame speech before the national championship game, mother freaker, I wanted to make that my phone ring, my ringtone. Literally, I wanted to make that my ringtone, but I couldn't because I knew I'd wake up every morning and run through the sheetrock and have to replace it. Like that, that's the kind of one that, like, now listen, the language is not my favorite.
Those were leaked.
Yes.
Leaked. Were purposely put out there.
Purposely leaked to be a recruiting tool for you. It was on a great level. But like motivation, you know, just really, really, really good at like he did one on leadership, and this was a while back. And it just Kirby talked about, this was two SEC media days ago. And he talked about the cost of leadership. And I was like, that's fascinating. Like, I've heard leadership put in so many packages, so many ideas, but he was like you have to understand that when you are a leader, it costs you something. Like, you have to be okay when people get upset with you. That's part of the cost. Like, it's not fun. You got to be okay with not being liked, you know? And so, yeah. You know, I think there's hundreds of those with Kirby, that quotes and stuff that just in the moment intensity can sit down and get a rise out of you where I'm ready to charge. I'm ready to Mel Gibson charge. Like, I'm ready to, you know, freedom. Yeah, go. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Well, he was tops of my list too, mainly though for he's just honest. And when even in the sideline interviews right before half, when you know he literally just wants to say five words and go to the locker room, he actually listens to questions and answers and gives truthful answers. And that's one of the things I've always appreciated watching him from a media perspective, is he's asked something, he honestly listens and thinks and tries to articulate an answer and give as much information as possible without sort of revealing maybe the truths of that. But no, he was on my list as well. What's the next?
I'll go. Give me one of yours.
Okay. Lane Kiffin.
He's in a and different the reason, box for me.
I knew he'd be in a different box, but in terms of the realness, he's going to tell you what he thinks. Yeah. Like, it's the top of the list with him. So he's one. Sam Pittman, I've already mentioned.
Hold on, you got to stop. You got to stop. And here's Lane. Lane don't give a crap what you think. Lane is not worried. And Lane is the my favorite thing about Lane is a little bit socially awkward. Like, he's a different person. Lane doesn't love crowds. Like, but like when he goes back to Knoxville as an Ole Miss coach, and it's the first time he's been back to Knoxville and people are throwing things at him, he's like, I guess they don't like me very much, you know? And, but just so real. You know, Jackson Dart last year, I was like, you know, last game he's playing, I remember he goes, well, maybe we'll file for a waiver and get another year. You know, like, just any of the – his social media comes into play too, because
yes,
he'll take shots. Like, he's not willing to be – he's not just – he's not talking about Saban and stuff, and he'll say things. I remember he did one with the game day crew, and before the game on the field. Like, And they're asking him questions, and he was like, and they're asking about a Nick Saban. When Nick Saban, of like that Nick Saban you know now, have done, he was like, oh my God, no. Like, and just will say exactly, you know, what he thinks.
He'll say what a lot of people who are sitting there watching him are thinking.
Yeah.
And he will say it. And it's,
and I think you appreciate that.
Yes.
As a player, always. As a kid, as a person, you always appreciate the realness. And listen, I'm not following any of these guys or anybody unless I believe that you believe what you're saying. Like, it might look different. Kirby's not going to have the same personality as Lane by any stretch, but I know it's authentic to him. And I know he's going to say what he believes. I think the same way with Lane, which makes it really fun and unique and different. And that's why you're just thankful that personalities are so different in this world.
Who's next on your list?
I'll give you one so I gave you Mike Tomlin, and Mike Tomlin's realness is just, It comes off, and just the way he says things and the way he holds people accountable and is kind of old school. I love it. Marcus Freeman.
Did you notice, speaking of Tomlin, did you see that they traded one of his receivers today?
To the Cowboys.
George Pickens got traded to the Cowboys. That doesn't bode well.
That's not going to upset Mike Tomlin, by the way.
I said that doesn't bode well for the future of George Pickens' career, I think, in a way. If Tomlin says, see you later. But anyway, carry on.
A guy I put in that box is Marcus Freeman. Like, cool. And again, I also wrote down, like, I would want to kick it and play cards with these guys. Like, that's kind of how I thought about him. Like, I would go play cards with Marcus, and I think he would talk trash. I think Mike Tomlin would talk trash. I think they could carry on a conversation so effortlessly. Like, it would just be easy back and forth. I don't think they're going to take themselves too serious. I think you could just literally treat them like one of your guys. And Marcus, I think too, along with what you said about Lane and Kirby, I just think he's honest. And he's like, you know, I thought we could do this. I thought we could do that. We need to do this better. We needed to do that better. And so he's always fun to listen to. And I think I can feel his personality enough. And I've been around him enough personally too, where I just really like him, honestly.
They would all lose to you in cards. By the way,
that's bring that it. On. Because I'm going to play with Freeman.
I don't know that I've ever won.
Hey, we'll do a C-ball, get ball trip to South Bend, because he said he wanted to play some cards. So we'll go do that. That'd be fun.
And I'll lose and then watch you win, because that's just what happens. One for me that kind of more blends coaching, but also the media and what how he talks is Trent Dilfer.
I love Trent.
Because I always enjoy his, especially when he talks about quarterbacks and the game and the announce, because has the coach background, he has the, you know, high level player background, and he blends that perfectly and uses unique analogies to how he describes the game. And I always learn something in terms of thought process or how to view maybe a player or a situation from him. So while his coaching career maybe hasn't gone as well, at least at the college level, as one would hope, I do learn from him constantly and will always listen when he talks.
And I think his, like, you can just, the analogies to me always stand out. I love the analogies. There's always an analogy that like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, you know? And I think he's, okay, so if you want to go in that vein, I got another one that I think goes well in that vein, Jay Billis. Jay Billis goes, like, if you listen to Jay Billis, the way he articulates, the way he says things, very unique, very different, very no nonsense, but unbelievable analogies, unbelievable wisdom, unbelievable like leadership, work ethic type of stuff, and accountability. Like, he just does a really good job with that. And I put both of them together too, because highly intelligent, like, but can explain it to dum-dums. You know what I'm saying? Like you can talk to me and explain it to me, and
they're,
you know,
teachers.
See ball, get ball again is because we play defense. You see the ball, you go get it. That's why we play. That's why I play defense. But like having guys like that are very smart, elite level processors in their fields, but also can explain it to you like you get it. That's a good trait to have.
Yep. Spencer Danielson is now on this list after interviewing him. Like, whatever he says, I'm following him. He was another one for me. Who else you got?
I got one for you. Back to humor and back to fun. And over the years, I've spent so much time with this guy, is Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy, he's done so many crazy things in interviews that I can't And listen, if he wasn't in Stillwater, it would get way more attention.
Right.
He loves that place. He's won so many. So he's had so many winning seasons. But like everybody knows the I'm a man, I'm 40. Everybody knows that. But listening to him, I mean, I've seen him rip his shirt off in an arena. Like, talk about like, yeah, I'd love to do that. You know, I remember him doing a Harley Davidson. He was like, I don't really drive Harleys, but I'll sit on a beer and drink one. I'll sit on one and drink a beer. And I'm like, okay. I mean, he's just, you know, one hand push-ups in interviews and just like kind of snarky and will be a little bit of a smart aleck, but I kind of like it too, because he's real to him. He's authentic to him. And this was way back then. Him and Justin Bieber. Like, I remember, like, in Oklahoma
State. That's a random poll.
By the way, Oklahoma State fans are going to love this because they'll remember it. But, like, I remember Justin Bieber put the I'm a man, I'm 40 as his ringtone. And it was a big deal. And then Gundy the next day was at the podium and had his phone. And he had somebody purposely call him 100%. It was on loud and it was a Justin Bieber ringtone. And I'm like, that's hilarious. So, you know, that kind of stuff. Gundy is definitely a unique individual that is abrasive, but will defend his players, which I like and I'm good with, but also says some things that coaches don't say that, you know, that's not something they say.
I'm going to give you a group of names and sort of maybe pick one out that stands out to you. So two in the NFL, Dan Campbell and Sean McVay. Anytime those guys talk, I'm in. Some former coaches, obviously Saban, we've already kind of mentioned that, but Gene Chizik with his words of chisdom on Twitter, I'm in. I always liked them for the most part. And Coach Jim Donnan, he's
Jimmy D's got
knowledge and doesn't forget in the stories, and he brings comedy to all of it too. Like and I have a personal relationship with him, so that helps. But yeah, so anybody in that group stand out?
Dan Campbell, if you are a meathead, you should be like, there's a chance for me to be a head coach. Like, just, and again, I think it's more of like, okay, again, I'm going to be a leader of all these guys, but I'm so unique and so different. It's not like anything they've ever had. Will it work? Will they follow? And I think it's a sign of somebody that's truly great and that's personality transcends when they can be so different like Dan Campbell and talk about biting kneecaps. Like, and just in a sport that has become softer and softer in football and weaker and weaker in form of toughness, like, but can get his guys to play with a different edge than everyone else. You are freaking good at your job. Like, and again,
post game things that they show in the locker room, every one of them with him.
Well,
I don't miss one of them.
He's got charisma, but more importantly, he's got honesty, humility, and just a level of, and by the way, always emotional, but because he cares. Like, you can feel the difference. There might be accountability, but there's love. You know, like a lot of times there's just a dictatorship, you know, and a lot of times more dick than tater. And but he's more like, you can tell, like, he's able to do all the things and love on his guys, but also demand. That's a special guy. Sean McVay is totally different. And Sean's the guy that, like, recall is stupid. He can remember every play of every game, which is so unbelievable. And just the chess match and the intelligence. Marist High School alum, by the way, like right here in Georgia, but just, you know, a computer like data. That's just unheard of.
Think about him though, being a head coach at 30 in the NFL and what he's able to do. Like, and you go back and you listen to somebody like Andrew Whitworth, that played all those years for him and with the Bengals prior to that, and just talk about the leadership characteristics and the humility in a way of listening to players and learning his own style and sort of forming that as a head coach. He's one that for me is always in that bucket. All right, let's go to some of the maybe off the wall ones or a little different elements or different even sports. What are some of those you got?
Well, this might be different for people, but Buzz Williams. I don't know if you've seen a lot of him. A huge fan of him. Like, just huge fan of – he's a college basketball coach. That's why some of y'all are kind of like, I don't know who that is. but he's just extremely to the point, extremely process oriented, extremely like getting the best out of his guys. I love his faith component. He's extremely outgoing about his faith and, you know, prays with his players, and we'll go down the list of everybody and just like, but just has a feel about him that's just, it's kind of cool. It's real. It's different. It's kind of but it's with love too. And just, you know, I think it's always been somebody that when I watch his teams and I hear him interviewed, I'm like, I feel like he gets the most out of these guys, you know, like yep. He does a good job of pulling it out of them and getting the best and making good leaders.
I had one for that realm, the college basketball coach realm, Donnie Jones. Most people probably do not know who Donnie Jones is, but he is the head coach at Stetson University. They made the tournament last year for the first time in their school's history, not this past year, but the previous year. That one's a little more personal for me because he's from my hometown in West Virginia. And I went to his basketball camp all those years, and he was an assistant. Oh, and just a phenomenal human being. He was Billy Donovan's top assistant those years at Florida when they won back-to-back championships. He's coached at various places, Marshall, UCF, and he's, from a leadership standpoint, he's as good as it gets.
Well, let's stay there. Let's stay in the basketball arena. Gino Auriemma.
I was waiting for you to – I didn't write that down because I knew you were going to say that one. Bro, he's as good as it gets.
Met him the other day at the airport, by the way, leaving a basketball tournament. Just
– interesting, by the way. Oh, there.
Yeah, I mean, super interesting.
Conversations that we can't talk about, maybe?
It was good conversations, basketball conversations, love basketball. He is old school, no nonsense, but I think has, even for example, I remember him talking about they filmed their bench during the games.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would you film your bench? He was like, I want to see everybody and how they respond and react if they're good teammates. And I was like, wow, like that's next level. But just talked about parents in the stands, and he can see, you know, kids that look at their parents, and he was like, I'm not interested. You know, just talking about like the different ways that you can, like, body language, and he's like, energy. I don't coach energy and effort. That's not what I you come here. You play to a standard. Like, that's the standard we set many years ago. You're joining it. You will do this or else go somewhere else, or you don't fit here. But at the same time, like, I will coach you in basketball. I will make you a better player. And obviously the championships speak for themselves. I think he's at 10 now, more than anybody's ever had. And with different eras, different girls, like, and coaching girls is different. And I do it. So I know, trust me, they're a different animal. But you watch, you know, people, Paige Beckers this year in the tournament, just talking about, you know, how she wants to strangle Gino, but she loves him, you know. And I think that's a great coach when you can do that.
He blends old school with relatability as good as anyone, I think. And especially, by the way, in the women's basketball as a male coach, like, that's one that's even a more unique relationship, sort of dynamic. But that's a great one. He's so good. All right, we'll give you a list of a bunch of other random ones here. So Steve Nash, definitely. If he talks basketball, I'm listening.
Give some background too. Like Brent wore Steve Nash shorts, and like, just, I mean,
I had the jerseys, the Suns, like, the 2010 Suns are the best all time team. Like for me
to never win a championship.
Yes. But hey, I enjoyed watching them more than anything. And what he talks about with basketball and the energy and the team aspect of it and the relationship part of that game, that's the one. Like, he did some of that Mind the Game podcast with LeBron. I sent it to you and Nicholas.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's as good as it gets to hear him talk high-level basketball. That's one. Tom Brady, I know, you know, sometimes when it comes to, like, drive and his perspective on being someone who was overlooked and how he always used that chip as a motivational tool, he's one. Anything that the Inside the NBA crew does, I listen to those guys. Barkley.
So good.
It's the best thing on television. Hubie Brown. When Hubie Brown talks basketball, I listen.
So good. So good, and for so long. I mean, that dude, he just retired this year at, what, 90? I mean, like, it's incredible to watch the run that he's been on. It's just – it's insane. It's nuts.
Chipper Jones with hitting, John Smoltz with pitching. Those guys are – as intelligent gets. And for football,
Chipper was the golf tournament on Monday. Chipper is a cool cat, man. Like, he's just a cool dude. I enjoy him like crazy.
Greg Olson on TV right now.
Yeah, Greg's good.
By far, like, by a country mile, the best analyst on TV when it comes to football. Because to me, he has the perfect blend of, I'm a player, I understand it from the player's perspective. He coaches middle school football now, I think. So he understands the coach perspective. Plus, he understands analytics. And he blends the three of those. And if he does a game, I'm in. I'm listening. I don't care who's playing.
Joe Mazzulla from the Celtics.
Virginia University alum.
Love Joe Mazzulla. And the circumstances in which he got the job wasn't the easiest. And he got a hard job, hard circumstances. But, like, I like Joe because Joe doesn't mince words, doesn't use a lot of words. He's just very to the point. And every time I hear him and they do a huddle or something, or I see something online, there's a takeaway. Like, there is no wasted. It is like, I need this, this, and this. It's really, really clear. It's really simplistic. And it's straight to the point, and it's going to hit. Like, it's going to hit home. I'm a big Joe Mazzulla fan. Like, he's just good. And then I got another one for you. Now, his language is not my favorite, but Rick Pitino. I mean, yeah. I watched it this past year, obviously. He's at St. John's again, right? Like, he's made a tournament run, had a good squad, but, like, that's all old school. And that is, mother freaker, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And
it's the halftime, like, speech that went viral, that was
and here's the thing.
Unreal.
Not everybody can handle that. Not everybody's going to be in that vein. Some people are going to get their feelings hurt, but the people that can really take that in life, man, you build a hard exterior and you're able to do hard things. Like, if you can take people beating down on you, if you can take people pushing you to your next level, like, to make you the best version of you, like, you will be very successful in life. Like, because life is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. You're not going to want to do things. And so when you learn those examples at 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, now with COVID years and all the other stuff, shoot, 28, now JUCO years, you might even be 85 when you're playing. But, like, he's another one that every time it came up, I was always like, yeah, that's pretty fun. Did we mention Kenny Dillingham? Because I put him on here.
Kenny Dillingham was definitely on my list. And he was also, to me, in that sort of that group of young coaches who are ascending and will be a top 5 or 10, if not already top 5 or 10 coach in college football very, very soon. Anytime he speaks,
I listen. Gone, so did you think we'd go this long on all the different coaches and angles? I
didn't, but actually I did. I thought we'd roll with this one. I was going to skip the young coach stuff and we can talk about actual college football news after this, but wrap on Dillingham a little bit.
We'll save the coaches for another day, but dude, this is fun because it's like, this is what I love. Like, I love leadership. You love leadership. Mm-hmm. You love, like, how do you, and here's the thing. Here's what I hate about the college football game. This it's so much different now. And this is harder to do. You don't lead the kids. You can't lead these kids the same way. And the fire and the passion, the intensity these kids used to have to go make it, like, make it the ultimate prize, which is making $50 million, $100 million, like, changing. A lot of these kids, they get it already. And the sense of entitlement is way up and their chances of listening aren't as good. Like, it's a different game, which is awful. Like, I don't like that part of it. Players should always be compensated, but there's a lot of things that have come with NIL that change this and that don't make it. It's harder to do this than ever. It's harder to be a leader than ever. And it's harder to find ways to motivate kids. And it's almost sometimes, it's an impossible task sometimes with the way things are scheduled or the way things are lined up right now.
And for me, like, me personally, I follow this a lot because I have to connect with kids. It's my day job. I'm a college professor. I have to teach young kids and figure out ways to keep them engaged and learn and sort of passionate about learning and things like that. So all these guys.
And that's why I put Dillingham on here. Cause, like, he's the one that he is like a teacher to me. Like, he's like your science teacher. He looks like a middle school science teacher. I mean, he's 34. He's young.
Yep.
He uses analogy. Like, I remember him talking about one of the games they played real bad. They're like, coach, you started off, 3-0 or whatever. And what happened today? Y'all got beat up. It was not pretty. I think Texas Tech beat him after 3-0 start. And he was like, well, it's This is no different than the movie business. And I'm like, what? It's like Mighty Ducks 1, 2, and 3 were fantastic. 4 sucked. Today sucked. And it's just like, yeah.
I agree.
That's really good. Today sucked. We move on. We play the next game. But then he blends that with sticking up for walk-ons, you know, which was what I thought was awesome. And his guys on his roster. And that with, you know, he talked about his first year at Arizona State, he was the coffee boy. Second year, he was an assistant. He was a grad assistant. And that dude was on fire because that is his school. Like, where he wants to be, where he wants to finish up. The day before fall camp, the day before, hey, bud, we don't have a spot for you. Brent, how about that? The day before fall camp. And he was like, I'm doubling down, bro. Like, he didn't say, crap, I got passed over. He was like, no, I'm doubling down. If I got to get coffee, if I got to get scripts, if I got to recruit, whatever I'm going to do. And his quote was, and this is what makes it, and I've used this before, but like his quote was, it's not your job. It's not my job to hire you. It's your job to make yourself so valuable that you can't not hire you. Like, that is a great quote. I remember when he said that, I bookmarked it on my phone. Make yourself so valuable that they have to hire you. Like, mandate that they hire you. That is a great quote. And I remember the BYU game. Remember when they stormed the field? He's like, I don't know what the freak was going on. Like, I don't know what.
I was one of these guys.
you know, I love that too. Yeah. So he was definitely on my list.
Well, it's one, and when we get these, you know, over the summer and into the season, you get various coaches. We'll have to sort of maybe bring up this topic in a way and bring it back to that and get some of their go-tos. But there was actual college football news that's happened recently, and it involved a name that you mentioned and a name that actually we didn't mention, Dabo. But Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame and Dabo and Clemson have agreed to a 12-year deal, I think it was, to where they're going to play each other basically every year. And they were going to kind of be in the rotation a little bit, but now it's going to be an annual thing, and it's good for in terms of consistency of schedule, strength of schedule for Notre Dame. That's sort of one element for them. For the ACC, they're looking to get more eyeballs, and specifically the higher level teams in the ACC get more eyeballs because of the way the revenue distribution deal is. So thoughts on this? Thoughts as a good thing? Do you see the ACC using – is this a permanent help thing, or is this just, hey, another hang around, buy some time?
It's a great thing for us. We win because it's more to talk about going into the season. It's another great game that you're going to be sitting on your couch and we're all going to be lazy eating and it's going to be fantastic. But when it comes to – again, there's multiple sides to look at this. I'm excited about it. I want to see it. If I'm the ACC – and I'm building my case as I continue to move forward, I think the more games I have that are really cross rivals that are good or against good competition, the league is not as strong as others, and it will be a problem. And the Big Ten and the SEC, remember, after this year, like right now, the Big 12, the ACC, the SEC, and the Big Ten run college football. Starting next year, the Big Ten and the SEC run college football. And that's a different dynamic that's about to shift and change.
You want your place at the table.
I mean, so ACC is going to have to do things that are different. And this is a non-ACC game because Notre Dame technically, you know, obviously shares the crossovers with the ACCs the most. But I love it. I'm for it. I'm going to go back to this before we do the ones we probably want to see. If you want to change the strength of schedule, if you want to change less griping at the end of the year, I've been saying this for years and years and years, Brent, and I'm going to say it again. Every single team needs to play at least one team from another conference for their out of conference. It's pretty simple. I have a crossover. If I'm an SEC school, I have an ACC school. I have a Big Ten school. I have a Big 12 school. If everyone does that for their non-conference, we got a really good idea of who's good. We got a really good idea of who's not that good. We got a really good idea of strength of schedule. For a totality of a season now, we've got more data points, more head-to-head, more common opponents. Like, it would make the process easier, and it would be less griping at the end of the season for a lot of people.
Random off of this. Is there ever a world where conferences don't exist and Notre, and everybody is like Notre Dame and just independent?
No, I don't think so. I think you'll have a, I think you'll have AFC, NFC. I think you'll have two conferences. Like, I do think we're heading towards that point. Like, starting next year. Okay, so here's the deal. Like, all right, this is behind the curtain. Like, talking to head coaches at major universities. Here's the problem. Every time college football tries to change and try to fix one of these things that are broken, and the list that is broken is lengthy, by the way, of the NIL and all this stuff. Every time they try to change something and they try to force the issue, one thing happens. They mention one word and everything scrambles. Lawsuit.
Yeah.
It's exactly what happens. Every single time there's progress to try to move the ball down the field a little bit, change a certain issue, lawsuit. And again, it's a different thing because you can be sued. Like the NFL, there is no lawsuits. That's not going to happen. The antitrust, right? Like, you have that ability. You are protected. Yep. So, like, that's the problem with college football is nobody wants to go get sued and have to go pay all this money for trying to change something. And so it's frustrating. It's annoying. But I think we'll get to the point where the Big Ten, the SEC, they have all this power. Now, how do we figure out a way to use it and to use it correctly and to get through the threat of the lawsuits and maybe just take some of the lawsuits, and it might be better just to get a win. You know, you get a dub.
It'll be ever changing, that's for sure. But in the short term, we get better games. Like anytime that we get
that's a good win.
Games, that's a win for me as a consumer of the sport. So finishing up, a little bit of fun that Notre Dame Clemson playing every year. We thought, all right, what are some other sort of non-conference matchups or top sort of rivalries, maybe even in college football, that you'd want to see for the next decade, and ones that maybe we haven't seen a bunch of, or that you don't see at all even. So
I know exactly. I can guarantee one that's on your list. Close to home.
Oh yeah. I took this a different way. I think there should be some pods to where you get multiple within here, and I'm assuming you're saying West Virginia versus Pitt is where you're
backyard brawl.
Yes, backyard brawl. But I would expand that. Like,
you want Penn State too, probably.
Well, no, Virginia Tech and Syracuse. I want sort of old school Big East. So West Virginia, Pitt, Virginia Tech, Syracuse. Those teams playing each other consistently all the time. Now, some of them obviously do already, but within the ACC realm. But those four, particularly sort of old school Big East matchups.
See, I went the same way. Like, let's bring some tradition back. Let's bring some fun back, some hatred back between fan bases, instead of just like doing a new one-off. Like, again, if Notre Dame and Clemson, you know, build it and they start, you know, building that brand, they'll start to build a generation of people that know it. But like, you got like Bedlam, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, like, that is something that people can identify with, that have identified with for years and years and years, and it's such a big game. Why not bring that back? You know, like, that's an easy non-conference fix. And again, if it's about revenue, which a lot of the times it is, there's not that. Now, we don't want to split revenue or give it to one side and then give it to the other. That's the problem. But like, you got a great quality opponent that drives. It's going to be a packed house, no doubt about it. There's going to be a lot of buzz. It'll be on national television. It'll be a big game as opposed to some of the other games we have. So like, that Notre Dame Michigan would be awesome. Like, that's one for me that I remember watching. I was there when Shoelace was playing. Denard Robinson was playing against Notre Dame. I was on the sidelines of that game. I remember it. It was a big feel, like two of the winningest programs in college football, mm-hmm. and the tradition, you know, very similar. Like, I remember that game and I remember the feel, and it was just awesome and cool and unique. And it's good things. It's a good thing for the sport.
So I went a different direction with a couple other ones. So one is Oregon and Georgia. I think that would be an interesting, if you're saying for the next decade, because you get Kirby versus Lanning and two premium programs
going at each
other for the next decade.
You got his first year.
Yes,
Dan got a face full in the dome.
That was a bit of a beatdown. That was the Stetson Bennett. I'm a Heisman finalist coming out party. But that was one. And then USC Oklahoma with the Lincoln Riley element. You know, that Oklahoma beat him in the championship one. Like, those were two to me that were kind of, that would be fun to see for the next decade.
Well, How long will Lincoln Riley be there?
I mean, I think he'll be there at least half of those, at least the next maybe 5 years, I would think. What are some other ones you got?
It'll be interesting. I thought the border war with Kansas and Missouri was good.
Yeah.
And again, people are going to say, well, I don't remember that as much. And the stakes might not be that high, but it was still the border war. It was still really good. It was awesome regardless. And I think that's where, you know, some people get lost in some of the rivalries that they have to be a national rivalry. Now, I don't think so. That doesn't have to be a national rivalry for everybody to understand. Like, this is still a big game, border war right next to each other. That would be
a lot of
hatred, a lot of juice, a lot of energy, a lot of fun. So that was another one that I thought would be good.
Fan bases. Like, these are the things that fan bases care about. And hey, cater to your customer.
Like Oklahoma, Nebraska. I mean, again,
that was another one I had written down.
Yeah, bringing back an old school, old rivalry, like way back. And so you bring in so many people that grew up on that rivalry and that watched it. And obviously we've changed conferences and changed which makes it go away. But now it'd be fun to see it and have it back.
Have our kids even seen that game? I don't know that they have.
I don't think so.
The other two places, you know, in this sort of pod realm, I thought of two states particularly, Texas and Florida, where, you know, high school football reigns supreme in a lot of these, but also college. So if you had a pod of like Texas and then A&M, Texas Tech, and SMU, you know, you maybe throw in TCU in that realm, but they're playing each other on a consistent basis. And then Florida, Miami, Florida State, Florida, UCF, like those teams, sort of the battle of Florida in a way, somehow playing each other consistently. But those were
a couple of places. You got the War of I-4 down there with USF and UCF, which is a good trophy game. Because you kind of do that in – you know, you do more of it in basketball every year. You like that you have those Big Ten versus SEC, you know, like, and you have those showdowns and showcases. But like that would be fun to have little pods like that and those little areas. Because again, that's the bragging rights. That's the areas that are by each other. And a lot of times you get it with the conference play because every in those proximity because you're usually with those schools. But the schools that aren't like, and the major D1 universities in Georgia Tech, like that's really awesome. Yeah. Like if you're in state. And you're both in Power Four programs. Like, let me see you play. Louisville, Kentucky, love it. Like, those
Clemson,
are
South Carolina.
Yes, those are so good. Like, those are so good that I feel like you have to play them. Like, you should play those games every single year because, again, the fans love them and the passion's there, which is the fun part of the game.
Which it's one of those, and there's such a sort of positive negative yin yang with this is, hey. Like, we'll use the Georgia Tech one specifically. Georgia Tech beats Georgia. It's the best. It's one of the best wins, if not the best win of their season. And it's a game that team is amped up for versus, and it's a non-conference game. It does like, and it's played at the end of the year, which it's just it makes for not good when you're looking at from a long-term championship type perspective with the way this is. But that's why a lot of these games to me should be all right in the beginning, and then go play your conference stuff.
But well, yeah. And there's so many games within conferences that we used to love. Georgia South Carolina was an underrated rivalry. Like Florida LSU was awesome every single year. And then those are the ones that you kind of I don't think you get anymore because the conference has gotten massive. So you're scheduling, you know, you can't have because you can't get Georgia Auburn. You can't have all the rivalries every single time with everybody. And you lose some of that with expansion because remember, teams went from, you know, 8 to 12 to 13 to 16, for gosh sakes, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And when it's the Big Ten and SEC, AFC, NFC, it'll be even bigger and it'll be even harder to continue to maintain those.
Well, on the bright side, week one this year, you get a lot of good ones. You got Texas, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, so many other good games in the beginning of this season, get a lot of good ones. But end with one quick question for you. It's a big day in your house, and a big time is coming up here soon because somebody will start being behind the wheel relatively soon, if not within the next week or so.
Today.
Are you ready for that?
Today.
I know.
It's already begun.
Happy birthday, Leah. So yeah, my daughter, you already took care of that business?
We already took care of the business. We passed.
All right.
Which
did she drive you home?
No, because it was raining.
Oh, okay.
It was raining, so we it was raining and wet. We were like, all right, first time. Now, listen, I will say this. So Leah, my daughter, turned 15. She's my youngest. We did go driving last night, and so we were all over the place around here. And there's a Hebron church right up the road, and it's like right here. We live in the country. Brent's my neighbor, by the way, so we're right next door. And she pulled from Hebron, and she was like, oh, I want to keep going. So we went up the road and went to Clacktown. We just kept going around like this little area. And
how was your blood pressure?
It was solid. I mean, here's the thing. My old truck, I don't care if she hits something. Yes. I don't really give a crap. Like, it's not really that big of a deal. But who do your kids want to? Who did your kids want to learn with? You or the wifey?
It was definitely me.
I would be interested to hear that across, because I feel like most kids prefer their dads to drive with. Now, listen, I'm gonna be honest. They prefer their mothers for just about everything else. So, everything else. Like, let's be honest with that. But for driving, I think it's because women just over, like, they get anxious and start yelling and like clam up, and you're just like, bro, it ain't the end of the world. Like yeah. Lindsay, she would have never let Leah pull my truck into the garage. And I'm like, the worst thing we can happen is we hit the windshield on the garage. I mean, that's the worst thing. Oh, actually, Leah could drive through the garage, knowing yeah. Leah. But no, and I'll say this too. I've heard so many people like, man, I miss the conversations with my kids when they start driving. Like, when Nicholas started driving, like, it was awesome. Like, it was really fun for them to, like, for us not to have to do everything for them yes. and take them all over the place. Like, that was such a blast. And I told him, and just like I'll tell Leah, 16 is the best birthday. I don't know if everybody else agrees, but you get the most freedom you'll ever get. Like, yeah. freedom, bro. Like, you get, where you want to go? Where are we going? Okay, we're going here. This is fantastic.
I will say it's going to be different. It's different maybe with boys and girls. Just
you got one
trust.
Coming down the pike pretty soon.
Exactly. We got, you know, like 6 months here, and Bree will be right behind her. And it's like, there's a little bit of nerves. There's more nerves with her, probably a little bit more so than the boys, but it'll still be fun. And like you said, it's part of growing up and a big part of it. And they get that freedom. So happy birthday to you.
I didn't have that many nerves. I was good. I was excited. I know some of y'all, all y'all can relate to those stories though. Appreciate y'all joining us. Thanks for, we continue to grow, continue to get better. Shoot, it's right around the corner, man. It's not far. We've been through this is really the month where it kind of starts to get a little bit difficult, but next week we'll go young coaches. We'll go the young coaches in the sport. I got some Brent on my list that nobody's heard of. Like, that literally they'll be at a main Power Four university, a big time university, getting paid tons of money, and you're like, where did they coach last? I mean, some really up and coming stars in the coaching business. And so that'll be a lot of fun, but we'll see y'all next Monday. You got one thing else, Brent?
No, that's it. It's a lot Sweet. Of fun. Summertime.
We'll see y'all next week on C-Ball, Get Ball.